Life is nationally recognized for making Stallions and Curly Stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slowdown Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirm Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shine at her best son. Something different, all the girls have seen to like you. Cause you're handsome, like to talk and a whole lot of fun. But now your girl is gone missing and your house has got an empty bed. The folks will wonder about the wedding, they won't listen to a word you said.
We're back at the races. About 5 minutes into hour two, Gavin O'Connor is going to join us and tell this great story about Actuator. And you know that I'm just a sucker for this kind of story. Got to tell you, we're only days away from the start of the Beat Bic contest to win a seat to the NHC. It's a free spin, free roll, as they say. And not only, if you saw the retweet I did last week when the word came out and the NTRA press release. There's more, but wait, there's more. There is going to be the potential for the Beat BIC winner to take down $1 million bonus. If win Beat BIC, become the representative next March at NHC, win the NHC, and in addition to an already generous prize, you will bring in an extra $1 million. $1 million bonus should the Beat BIC winner become the NHC champion. How can you beat this? And I want to thank John Unick from Insurance Office of America making this, you know, making this possible. And I, you know, for those that say, well, you know, it's a free contest, so it's going to be very difficult. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But just to give you an idea, there's been a few, you know, there's been a few players that that have gotten involved in the NHC because of this contest and have been successful, and that includes Dale Day. Dale Day, who was a final table participant last year in NHC, Dale's first competition of any kind in NHC was Beat BIC. So, and he made the final table last year. So this can be done. And an extra $1 million. What a perfect segue to Gavin O'Connor's story involving Actuator and the Indiana Derby winner that includes, you know, the new ownership that, or the principal ownership that bought in Black Type Thoroughbreds, Jake Ballas and his partners. But Gavin O'Connor liked this horse, saw him and was working with him at Windstar, and stepped up to the plate and ends up getting rewarded really handsomely. Gavin, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me this morning.
To me, this is the kind of story that is inspiring to anybody that, you know, is involved in the game, and, you know, whether it's pinhooks and whether it's small-time breeding, however you get your hands on what turns out to be a good horse. In this case, you saw Actuator, you thought there was something special about him, bring everybody, you know, back to his origins, and what you base a decision like that on.
Yeah, so, like, basically, it just started really with a vision and a dream, you know? And like I said, it started with the weaning process. We got a new bunch of babies, the new crop. And I had, I'd say, probably 25 youngsters in my barn, and Actuator was one of them. And, you know, obviously, like, I'm constantly evaluating young horses as I'm surrounded by them, you know, 6-7 days a week. So, it's always been my vision and my dream to try and own a racehorse. I didn't think it was going to come like this straight off the bat, but the intention was to buy him as a short yearling to race him. Like, he wasn't a pinhook, he wasn't a breezer. He was bought with the intention to race him. So, you know, to get this result is just, it's really incredible, and it's very reassuring, you know.
Exactly. It reinforces, you know, your own confidence in yourself when you're projecting, because this horse was bought as a short yearling, right?
He was bought out of the February sale as a short yearling. I think he's a February foal,
okay.
So he might have just been about a year old at the time when we got him, you know. But I often, like, you know, been surrounded by a lot of great judges over, you know, the last 10, 11 years of my career. And, like, I always, you know, just been around David Hanley in the barns at Windstar and stuff. Like, David is obviously one of the best judges in the game. So, you know, you just keep your eyes open, your ears open, and you're just completely clued in, you know. And when you can learn from the best like that, and you start to piece it together, and you start to live through some pedigrees, like I'm only 10-12 years in the game now, but when you start to see pattern recognition through horses that come, you know, crossing bloodlines and stuff like that, and you can piece it all together, like that's what this decision was based on. It was based on, like, Actuator himself, like, he's bred on a similar cross to Always Dreaming with In Excess and Bodemeister, and obviously Indian Charlie's a fantastic broodmare sire, you know, Matoli and Flightline, and there's a lot of good horses out of Indian Charlie mares. So I saw a rawness in the horse, but I also saw plenty of moments of beauty during his development. And, like, David, obviously, who's a great mentor to me, like David always said, like, if you get the opportunity to see a young horse in its greatest moment of beauty, you will always generally see that horse come back to that level of balance as it goes through the ups and downs of its growth as a young horse. So it's just, like I said, it's a vision, and it was an ability to try and forecast the future for the animal that I saw. So it was a long-term vision, and just, like I said, it's just it's an incredible result, and it's very, very, very fulfilling, you know?
Without a doubt. Let's add the dollars and cents element to this, because at that sale, you could not actually be there to bid, and you know, talk about the budget, and actually also, Gavin, in terms of working within an operation like Windstar, which, let's face it, is kind of a factory operation, how much opportunity and how open are they to having, you know, someone like you in the operation step up and buy their horses out of the ring?
Yeah, well, look, like, I wouldn't refer to Windstar as a factory, because it's very, like, yes, they have big numbers of horses, but they're very meticulous in their management, and they're very superior. They're the best in the business. So, you know, obviously they're commercial breeders and sellers. So, you know, when you've got all this premium stock and, you know, what's hot at the moment, you've got all these Justifies, Quality Roads, Uncle Moe's, all these top-end stuff, they have to trade out of stock. Do you know what I mean? And obviously me being a younger
sure.
guy and trying to make a start in the game, you know, they're trading out of stock, and I'm trying to pick a, you know, a lump of coal as per se and polish it into a diamond with a vision, you know. Not that he was exactly a lump of coal, but you know the analogy I'm trying to get at. So
sure.
Yeah, but it's lots of horses obviously slip through the cracks, and you can't keep them all, and, you know, it's an expensive game. But, yeah, big farm like Windstar, commercial breeders, they have to trade and turn over stock. So Actuator happened to be one of them, and obviously I was very close to the horse, you know, the whole way through, and I called up my buddy, and I said, look, I really think this horse is something special. I remember one day I had him tied up in the wash bay, and I was just looking at the horse, and I said, if this horse was by American Pharoah, he would bring $500,000. Like, I specifically remember saying that to myself. That was the sort of, that was the horse that I saw.
Huh.
You know, so the price, like I said, the price doesn't reflect the quality of thoroughbred that he is, because, you know, the dam is a half sister to a grade one winner in R Heat Lightning, who won the Spinaway grade one, and I think she was placed in the Breeders' Cup race as well. So, like, I think it's a good Phipps family, I believe, and it goes back, you know, 5-6 mares deep. So, you know, the quality of blood is there. Like, you've got the Stormcat cross with, you know, the Indian Charlie base, and, like, he's a really well-bred horse. But, I mean, yeah, it's just incredible, really.
You mentioned R Heat Lightning. That was Mrs. Robsham. That was the Robshams.
Right.
That was a horse of Todd's, R Heat Lightning, and that's got to be a nice family. The 2200 ended up being the number. Were you able to watch the sale at least, or did you get a phone call?
Yeah.
From your partner.
So, yeah. So look, I was actually trying to get over to the sale, and I was on Newtown Pike at the time, and I was on the phone to Dermot, and I think the call dropped, and then he called back, and he said we got him, and he said 22, and I was like 22, I was like, geez, what? Didn't think we were going to have to go that high, no, 2200. You know, and I was like, oh, brilliant, you know, and I was ecstatic in the car. And then I finally got over about 10 minutes later, and the horse had got back to the barn, to James Keogh's and of Grovendale, and, you know, we had a look at the horse afterwards and took some pictures, and, yeah, we were just delighted, you know. It was a real thrill.
That's... I love it. $2,200, which is within everybody's budget that has any interest in the game. Take it from there, and the decision making in terms. How about hooking up with I almost said Whitey. How about hooking up with Michael McCarthy?
Yeah, look, that was probably more so. A decision of Dermot's, who's obviously an advisor for us. You know, he played a huge part in the whole process. He was broken and pre-trained. He was pre-trained at Margo, but Toby and Heather Richards of Salvisa, they broke him and pre-trained him up until before he went to Margo. And then he obviously went to Rudolph as a two-year-old. And we gave him a break. And then I think, you know, obviously Mike McCarthy is a fantastic trainer and a great guy, and we just loved the idea of going with him with the three-year-old campaign. And obviously the horse had ability. We seen the ability up in Indiana too, you know what I mean? Like his first start, I think he blew the turn, he went five wide, he came down the back straight, and like he passed all the horses, and he went out in front coming around the bend to come home, and he just kind of got a little bit lost, didn't know what to do as such, you know. So, like, he's really balanced out as a three-year-old, and he's, you know, I guess you could really call him a young man of a horse now, you know what I mean? And he's got the ability to, he just wants to go forward, he wants to train, his works are unbelievable, he loves going to the track in the morning, and, you know, obviously Justin Curran, who's been working closely with him, who is Michael's assistant, you know, he loves the horse, he says he's a pleasure to deal with, and he loves to train, you know, he loves to go forward, and he's got heart, he's got it all, you know, so, like, that's a huge part of it, you know, that he wants to go forward, so.
Well, so many decisions here that obviously go into this. You mentioned Rudy starting him out, and you started him on the grass, put him away, in fact, after October, after the two turf tries, and he had two board hits, and then comes back in Michael's care and breaks his maiden smashingly the first time he gets on dirt. And, you know, winning at 7/8 is always an indication of talent. The 92 buyer also an obvious signal of real talent, and that caught the interest of Jake Ballas, and suddenly you've got the opportunity to take money off the table.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, obviously from 2200 to the figure that we did business at was amazing. It was kind of life-changing for us, you know, and to still have 25% of the horse with our partners, original partners, you know, it's just a dream come true because we get to go forward with him, you know. But, yeah, like it was a real interesting change to see him come out there at three, you know, first time and do what he did at Churchill, you know. He obviously loves a fast dirt track, you know, and he showed that at Churchill. And then obviously up in Indiana, you know, you could see with a bit of moisture in the track, it was probably a little bit more taxing in his hind end. You could just see his action wasn't as clean. But again, his persistence and his fight just showed how resilient the horse is. You know, I know Jimmy Graham got off the horse and he said the horse was only going to do as much as I asked him to do. He said if Best Actor wanted to go faster, Actuator was going to go faster, but he was comfortable keeping him there at a half length on his shoulder. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
The horse was smart, and the horse obviously got a taste of victory first time round. And he now knows, I think, what it feels like to be a winner and to go across that finish line first. You know, he knows his job, and he loves to do it. So it's a great combination.
Everything about this is great. And actuator, the Grade 3 Indiana Derby winner, and plenty yet to come. I want to go back and get a little bit about your story, Gavin, and you talk about you know, your interest in the game. You said you've only been involved about 10-12 years. You obviously came here with interest and intent. What was your path to the industry?
Yeah, so basically, like, family background, my two uncles, Bernard and John McCormick, are in the business. John's a bloodstock agent, and Bernard has a farm in Canada. His main career job was he was general manager of Winfield, and he went out on his own. He's got his own farm. My grandfather was a racing journalist correspondent back in Ireland and England, you know, for a span of 45, 50 years. And, you know, my great-grandfather had horses and trained horses, and, you know, it stems back. But I left school, obviously 18, and I deferred from university. I just didn't want to go to university, so I decided to go over to Bernard in Canada, and I got on the end of a lead of a yearling, and I just got hooked and travelled on down to Australia and, for three and a half years, worked for some top trainers and breeders down there. Came back and I did the Irish National Stud course, and I did a breeding season with Lady O'Reilly, or Chrissy Glandres. She's the wife of Sir Anthony O'Reilly, a Castlemartin stud in Kilcullen. And then I ventured out here about 6 years ago this summer. And I started with Windstar, and I was there up until February of this year, you know, where I worked with stallions and mares, not so much mares and foals, but more kind of yearlings and breaking and pre-training. And I was lucky enough that we had a crop of about 70 yearlings to break the year we broke Justify. Little did we know that we had them in the group, you know. So that was really incredible, you know, along with so many other great horses. So just been around kind of a lot of young horses, a lot of high quality stock, and you know, just being able to compare regions and, you know, the what goes on in the different hemispheres and how to match horses pedigree wise, physicality to training surfaces, dirt, turf. It's all just a big database of information, you know, that kind of goes into making an educated decision to try and purchase a horse like Actuator as a young horse, you know. So pretty much it's kind of 10 years of education and hard work that obviously come with a massive reward, and it's so fulfilling, really, you know.
Absolutely. So how old are you?
I am 29.
Unbelievable. Tremendous. Gavin, what advice? You know, there's people listening that are in all different stations along the way of where, you know, you've been and where, you know, you're getting. What advice do you have for, you know, for younger people that have an interest in you know, working in the industry and in whatever capacity?
Like, ultimately, the one thing I'd say is there's no substitute for the amount of time that you can spend with the animals and the number of different animals you can set your eyes on. That's key, because at the end of the day, horsemanship is like a language. It's like learning French or Spanish or anything else. There's a level of fluency that you need to get to in order to not so much master it, but be good at it. And when you get to a level of fluency with horsemanship, it starts to talk to you a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Horses, you understand horses more, you understand pedigrees, and you can piece it all together. And, you know, ultimately, obviously, you got to have hard work, you got to have commitment. It's long days, it's blood, sweat, and tears. It is tough, it's not easy, do you know what I mean? But nothing worth doing is easy, you know? But ultimately, that's what I put it down to. There's no substitute for, you know, you got to get down and dirty, you got to get, you know, stuck into spending a lot of time with a lot of animals and building your database. Because at the end of the day, when you walk into a sales ground, you have to have your database of information. Otherwise, you're just you know. Otherwise, you're just firing blanks, you know.
Agreed and understood. That's not
an exact science. I'm not saying that's an exact science or an exact answer.
No.
But what I'm saying is the education can minimize your brackets to whereby you really can cut down, you know, the window of opportunity based on what I just said.
No doubt. And then, you know, to not only have a confidence boosting and let's also acknowledge the kind of exposure that comes with this success and with this story, but it also the financial reward then gives you, you know, certain leeway to, you know, to invest further and you know, to advance, you know, the goals. I mean, what talk a little bit about the long term and what kind of role you see for yourself, you know, as you get older.
Yeah, well, look, like, I mean, I think this has been a deep-rooted vision and aspiration of mine. And, like, you know, obviously we had a lot of luck on our sides, but I think the way we played the whole campaign, we created a good portion of our luck. And, like, that's what I would want to do, continue forward. I'd like to just keep, you know, going that route, you know, pinhooking, trying to make some, you know, turn over some nice horses. I'd like to race another couple and, you know, just try and bring the fruits again, you know, just try and keep going.
You know, there's so many, I guess the name that I'm thinking of, John Innes, and what he does, you know, there's so many positive influences and examples for people to, you know, to aspire to and to have to gain confidence from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a testament to, you know, everybody who works hard and gets that reward. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I think it's a reward for hard work that when those people get those rewards, it's all worthwhile and it's well deserved, you know. But like I said, it's all backed on, you know, all these guys are highly educated and, you know, well experienced. So, you know, when they do strike a piece of luck like that, it was with intent and it was with vision, you know.
Very clear, and I'm sure everybody listening, you know, can tell from, you know, the way you explained this and the way you went about this, you know, just what the envision entailed and the way in which this all came together, and there's obviously great opportunity ahead for Actuator and, you know, everybody that's involved. You got in, you know, in terms of picking a somebody to sell three quarters to, you couldn't be hooked up with anybody better than Jake Ballas as well.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely delighted. And look, Jake and his team were very generous with their offer. They obviously, you know, clearly saw the talent that he has, and they weren't, like, I know Jake has said, he wasn't swayed by the original purchase price. You know, markets change and the horse did what he did, and he's talented and his people want to go racing with good athletes, you know. Like, I mean, how many well-bred horses do we see fall by the wayside? So, and again, what is the goal? The goal is to have that racehorse that can win a graded stake and put on the big day, you know. Like, this is a rich man's game, and at the end of the day, you can have all the pedigree, but if you don't have a horse that can't show up, you know, it gets very expensive when you invest in young yearlings. And, you know, obviously it happens all the time. So, like, that was, you know, I saw an individual and, you know, I forecasted that this horse was something that I really wanted, you know. So, yeah, but Jake Ballas, great guy. Met him up in Indiana for the first time. He's really cool. You know, he's you know, he was just delighted and everyone was just completely overjoyed and, you know, it was incredible high. I must say it was probably the best high I've ever experienced, the best thrill, like, you know, just the nervousness, because, you know, he's kind of like my baby, you know. Just we had him for so long and, you know, we brought him the whole way along and, you know, all the time we put into them, and just like, oh, it's unbelievable, you know, like, you know, the story broke before the Indiana Derby, you know, and I was just praying. I was like, gosh, I really hope this horse can put on a big show for the Indiana Derby, and like, he just went out and won, and I mean, that's the cherry on top for the story, really, you know.
what you just laid out, that's about the best marketing initiative the industry could ask for, Gavin, you know, the way you described that. Because obviously you've been associated with any number of other young horses who then went on, you know, for people that don't realize, when you're doing what Gavin does, you follow horses through the start of their career, and you know, you tune in and you watch races and hope they do well. But when it's your name on the ownership line, it's a whole different story, and to see this all, you know, come to fulfillment, Gavin, I'm so glad to get a chance to talk about it, and wish you just continued success. This is wonderful.
Look, thanks so much for reaching out, you know, and yeah, it has been amazing to share the story, and it's still kind of overwhelming and just unbelievable, you know, because we, you know, I think Jimmy Graham said we haven't got to the bottom of this horse yet, and we don't exactly know, and he's continuing to grow and just, you know, blossom. So, you know, hopefully he's fit and he's in form, and, you know, we want to keep it that way. So I presume the guys will want to keep firing while the irons are hot, you know. So hopefully he can kick on. Yeah, but it's incredible.
We'll be watching. I'll be watching the buying list today. See if you sign for anything today at the sale.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I just want to. I need to kind of collect myself before I go off again. You know. You know, I don't want to. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of time and opportunities down the road. You know, so I just need to get a game plan together and see exactly what I want to do next, you know.
Exactly. And don't let the money burn a hole in the pocket. But this is a great, great result.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It's a joy for everyone. It's just a great story, you know.
Great Gavin story. Are you can we follow you on Twitter or such? You got a presence on
not a huge Twitter user. I think I do have an account there. I go on it very rarely. Obviously, if you search, you'll find me. I think it's a picture of me with wearing a Windstar T-shirt, and I think I've got Justify over my shoulder. But not a huge Twitter user. Instagram, Facebook.
All right. That's fine. As long as there's a way for people to, you know, to reach out and prospective clients and partners and so forth. But Gavin, I just delighted for you. Well done. And we're going to see you at Saratoga. You got a chance to come out to Saratoga this summer?
Yeah, possibly. I'll have to wait and see. I've got my commitments here to the farm, and we've got, you know, 25 odd yearlings that we're prepping, and a bunch of mares and foals and stuff. And so it's just, it all depends on if there's a break that I can get away. But, I'm not holding out for that unless there's a huge race day coming up, and we'll try and make something happen, you know.
Well, and there's also, of course, there's the new wrinkle that Windstar, I haven't had a chance. I was on vacation the last basically 10, 12 days, and Windstar announcing, you know, kind of an in-house operation, you know, kind of taking the focus away from racetrack training and training on the farm. So, that's a story in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've privatized, so... Yeah, I don't know too much about that, but obviously, huge changes there. So I wish them all the best, and obviously they're a great team, and I was very lucky to work with Windstar, you know.
well.
Gavin O'Connor, everybody, and an unbelievable success story. $2,200 purchase, and he had his hands on this horse, saw him develop, and took full advantage, and ends up with a graded stake winner. So really thank Gavin for the visit, and we'll look forward to more success down the road. And we'll talk to Michael W. McCarthy. I'll probably get Michael tomorrow. All right. So, Gavin, thanks again.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Not at all. Gavin O'Connor, folks. What a
thanks.
Really, that'll give you a confidence boost if you're a young person trying to get in the game, whatever side of the game you're on. We're going to talk to Chris Griffin, and Chris has got a graded stake to call today, the 10th today, the Dr. Penny. And, in fact, I'm going to probably should get Tony in tomorrow, a day early, because we'll be at Saratoga Thursday and Friday. And Tony can tell you plenty of stories about Dr. Penny, absolute legend, and in and around Philadelphia racing and Jersey, Garden State, and Atlantic City, and part of history. For those of you that know the broad brush Pennsylvania Derby, where he basically is ready to leave the racetrack. And famously, there's an individual waving his arms above his head to catch, try to get Broadbrush to realize he's about to run into the stands. And that waving individual was Dr. Penny. That's not why they have a stake named after Dr. Penny. that is one of the stories about Dr. Penny. Tony will tell you more. They got a nice stake today, and assuming everybody is running in this group, so we'll talk to Chris here as soon as Casey raises him. So Chris Griffin, you got that. That was fun with Gavin. I'll go digging around for his account at Twitter. And while we reach for Chris Griffin, let's take a look and see if the changes are up. What is it? It's 10:40. So let's see. Yeah, they are. Changes came up at 10 o'clock, and only the MTO. Only the MTO came out. Nice. Sweet Wilhelmina. You can take out the MTO from this group. Favorite looks like, yeah, Princess Grace, the Mike Stidham. Boy, Stidham is sending horses everywhere. He was at Monmouth this weekend, right? And Delaware, and he was out in the Midwest. So from the Fair Hill facility, Princess Grace, the Caracanti mare, she's 6 for 10, and any decent check today. And she's going to go over $1 million in earnings. Boy, she has done that very quietly. It's kind of funny. I, as many times as we've seen her in graded stake spots, Princess Grace, I'm still surprised to see that she's amassed that kind of money. Chris Griffin joining us, and Chris has got. Did we lose him? No, there he is. Chris Griffin, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's going on, Steve? Happy to be with you.
I just pulled up the scratches. I wanted to see if this race stayed together, and it absolutely did. Just the MTO coming out, and it's always fun when you got a graded stake to call on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it is always fun for a graded stake, and it's a grade three, and we get a defending champion or reigning champion, I guess, however people like to phrase that. But Princess Grace is going to be returning here. We got Florent Giroux in for that ride. Classic Lady looks like she's a good contender. I think the horse everybody's talking about right now is the four Flirting Bridge, and just her performance at Churchill Downs in her last race, that allowance race, where she ends up winning by five open lengths. I mean, that's tough to do on a turf course that I wanted to keep an eye on the turf races yesterday, and I don't know how much we're diving into this race just yet, but the turf course was playing really fast yesterday. We saw some really fast fractions. Gravitron took them all the way around the racetrack and went 46-4 for a half-mile time and won by open length. So I'm just wondering if speed is going to be the weapon to use here in race number 10, and it might be a little bit tough for the closers. We'll find that out, but if it is playing to speed, the five ends up a standout for me. Christophe Clement there with Jerrel Rosario. Yes, I think this is a step up for her, the New York bred, but with the speed that she's got, she could set the tempo if Love in the Air doesn't go with her. And I think that she could take them a long, long way in there.
She's not the only New York bred either, because Larry Goitschman has got his homebred Runaway Rumor down that George Abreu handles, and you know, she flashed real ability last year, and seemingly has kind of plateaued. She really has not gone forward from that good 3-year-old form last year that, you know, that she showed. You mentioned Flirting Bridge as well, Brendan Walsh and Julian Leperu, fresh from his front-running score in New York on Saturday, and we talked yesterday with Kenny McPeak about Classic Causeway stealing that. If Flirting Bridge comes back, you know, with anything close to that, Chris, I mean, she's competitive. She's 9-2.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think she'll come down a little bit because I've just heard quite a few people making that selection. She ended up beating Sloan, who I believe won yesterday, didn't she? I think she won yesterday.
Yes,
and came back.
She won so. Colonial.
Yeah, so, you know, that's obviously coming back as a strong race, so that's something to keep an eye on there. You talk about horses plateauing. I guess the Princess Grace is interesting. I do think that she deserves favoritism in here. I don't want to say she's plateaued, but she was on such a roll, especially coming into this race last year when she was able to win off the layoff, came right here, wins under Joe Bravo. Now she picks up Florent Giroux, who has been aboard the 5-year-old mare before. But what do we take from her last few performances? You know, she ended the year at Del Mar, a couple thirds, and then her comeback effort at Monmouth, I don't know what to take from that. You know, just a slight bobble says she pulled. She just didn't run kind of up to her standard. Now she comes into this spot where she's seemingly going to be the favorite. So I don't know if she's very vulnerable. I think that Mike Stidham obviously knows she likes this turf course and she can bounce right back and possibly get to the winner's circle. But it's a nice grade three. The only thing I'm hoping for, Steven, I can't believe I'm saying this right now on a beautiful, clear day right now here in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. There is projected weather for later this afternoon. It's 92 degrees. It's not supposed to rain all week, except there's forecasted rain at about 3 o'clock. So we'll see if that does kind of pan out, if that does happen. I don't think we're going to see a huge downpour, but I thought that before, and then it shows up. The turf rail is going to be at 15 feet. We'll see if the rain plays any factor, but hopefully it does not. Just that one scratch of Sweet Wilhelmina, the MTO.
I think I just pulled up Dark Sky, and I for Bensalem, I think you're okay.
Okay, I'll trust you. I'm gonna quote you on that one because I keep looking at it. I only check my phone. I don't know who to trust from a weather standpoint anymore as far as who's got it dialed in.
Well, Dark Sky, we've had very good success. Dark Sky says you're okay the rest of the afternoon.
All right, I like it. I'll work with that. It's going to be race 10 on our program, so we'll see us later on in the card, later on in the day. But it should be a really, really good race. It's nice to have that grade 3 opportunity to the $200,000 stakes race. And we start to really get into the thick of our stakes season, really, at Park. I mean, as we get into August, we'll take the two-week break. And then we got some nice stakes races coming back for the PA breds. And then, obviously, it all leads up to Derby and Cotillion Day. So it's nice to see these turf horses, some really good quality turf horses, the fillies and mares getting on the turf course. That turf rail at 15 feet, we'll just have to see. There is a turf rail earlier on in the card. Alcia's speed continues to play really well, because if it does play to those front-end types, then I think there are some horses that you can really zone in on.
Well, and let's touch on a couple of other players here, including some of the price options, and a horse that's going to be forward, the Constitution Filly for our friend Will Schwartz and his partner, Mainline Racing, coming out of the Lafarge, and before that, a resounding winner that race down at Monmouth, kind of a speed sharpener, and then return to the turf, Love in the Air, From the Rail, Paco Lopez Sticks, Flashing Dynamite, Off the Claim. This was a horse that showed some quality last year. She's now 7. My God, I didn't realize she's gotten that old. But she's 12-1. Ray Silvera aboard. We already mentioned those principles like Flirting Bridge and Classic Lady. Fed Policy is 15-1 for Josu Arce, and then Runaway Rumor, and that crazily named Tick 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 Boom for Alan Bedard and owner Tim Riddall. She's 1-for-17, but she does regularly account and acquit herself nicely.
Yeah, if you want a horse that's going to round out some of your exotics, if you're taking a little look at a bit of a price play in there to sneak into some of your exactas and your trifectas, the 9 Tick 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 Boom is the horse. If she gets the outside draw again, seems like that shouldn't be too much of a problem for her. There is some speed in the race, so it could set up for her to make her big closing kick. Alan Bedard has got her rolling. I mean, a 4-year-old filly that's in very good form right now, that has those 7 third-place finishes. Yeah, she's rounding out a lot of trifectas, but she's been doing them at prices. We put that exactly together, actually, there in the Neshaminy when we talked about that race.
Mm-hmm.
High Opinion coming in there as a favorite, but Tick, 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 Boom being a huge price that you had to take a look at with Trevor McCarthy aboard that afternoon. And she paid a really nice price, and that was a nice exacta. Frankie Pennington, I've said it here on our live broadcast. I don't know if there's a hotter jockey, in the region of the country right now. I mean, Frankie Pennington has just been putting 3 wins together, 2 wins together, 4 wins on another day. He's now 2nd in the standings once again. He'll have to make up a lot of ground to catch Ruben Silvera for the year-long standings here at Parks. But Frankie Pennington is a man on a mission right now. He's a fixture here. He picks up this mount. And I think that he's going to just have a patient trim and do what she does, which is try to launch from the back. She doesn't win many photos. She doesn't get to the winner's circle. She's only got that one lifetime victory, but she's also made $144,000. So this is a turf horse that continues to improve. And I think she's in very good form right now. Alan Bedard is just, he's put her in the right spots. She ran in the match series. I think that that's something that they maybe this connection will take a look at, obviously, as we get closer to October and the championships there for an opportunity in that spot. But, she's on her home track. She gets an opportunity to run here at Parks once again. And she's finished 2nd in 3 lifetime starts here over the Parks turf course. So if you want a long shot, you take a look at that. The 2 Flashing Dynamite, I do wonder where she's going to be placed. Michael Moore, he's had a tremendous year. He just has. Ruben Silvera is going to go back with the ride. She took that big drop in class from the New York races. Jamie Ness claimed her. Then Jamie Ness wins with her. And then Michael Moore says, I want her back. I want to claim the 7-year-old mare back. That's earned over $384,000. So he gets the horse back. He puts her right in the stakes race. He's got to think she's feeling good right now with 6 starts on the turf, 1 second, 2/3. I just wonder, you've got quite a few horses that have not shown a win over the turf. And so when they don't do that, those are the types that really, against some quality runners here in the grade 3, they're the types that, yes, they're going to fill out my exactas and my trifectas, but I really think that I can zone in on a winner. I just feel like Princess Grace is maybe a play against as the favorite, so that's why I'm going to side with the 5 Classic Lady. I think tactically she's got an advantage. Rosario's back aboard. She was not the favorite. The favorite, actually, in that last start was Runaway Rumor coming out of the Bogey. She was the odds-on favorite there to get the job done. So I think the 5 could be improving 2nd off the layoff, and she's my pick. Before, though, she could be the very interesting X factor in this whole thing because she ran a big number last time. And from what I hear and from what you watch and what you watch in the replays, that was a very strong race for her. So interested to see how she's going to perform as well.
Well, this is a good edition of the Dr. Penny and goes at 5-10. Card has got some playable spots, including the late the late action. The late pick four starts in the eighth, so you got a 10 by 7 by 8 by 11 late pick four. I will mention there's a 3-year-old filly that should be noted on this card early on. 151, the third race, Chris, looking outside to... Gunfire Gal, yes.
I already knew what you were thinking. Yeah, I like her a lot. She's not going to be 2-1. I think she'll be a little shorter price than that. But the John Service horses, I feel like they improve leaps and bounds from first start to second start. They get that education run, and then they come out in that second start, and they really run. She broke from the rail. She showed early speed on her debut. Yes, she was against state breds in a maiden special weight, but go back and watch the performance. We've got replays of the performance. Frankie Pennington will be back aboard. I've just talked about him. I don't know how the form behind her has come back. The horses behind her have been just kind of okay. Kirby was in that race, took a big drop in class to the maiden 25, and actually ran pretty well at the maiden 25 level. But Gunfire Gal, she's by Gunrunner. She's a homebred for John A. Marshall. You know, you don't want to use the word special too much. I think her number was pretty good coming back, but she could really show a lot here and start number two, and I think we're going to really find out what we've got as far as the 3-year-old filly in the seventh, Gunfire Gal.
Yeah, I would be intrigued. This is just it's a non-winners of two lifetime, and you know, she got a 73 buyer in that debut. I did not reach to see what she did on other metrics. She actually is a half sister to Street with No Name, who was a nice enough horse out on the West Coast. And I'm just looking at this family: Medallia Doromare, Frost Fire, and she herself was just a modest winner. So just kind of glancing at the family. Splice the Main Brace is on this card as well for Butchie Reed.
Yeah, that's an interesting race if you look later on the card. The whole Turf to Dirt thing, I don't know, I've been kind of hammering this, and maybe too much actually, but Turf to Dirt has just not been working for me. I know a lot of people say, you know, it doesn't matter, and they take a look at it, and it's just not something that really people really take a look at it as seeing a bet for or a bet against, but for whatever reason, Turf to Dirt has just never been my play. Horses that are coming off the turf now move to the dirt. They're usually a play against for me. Splice the Main Brace, he can win that race, but I think he runs into some pretty good runners in that spot. I think I'd play against, actually. I actually like Appealing Future a little bit. I think that horse can improve, and I think that horse ran behind a really nice runner in Easy Day. So Farmo Power, I've loved that horse a long time. That's the number one. We're taking a look at race number nine. I've really liked him quite a bit. I don't love the draw for 7 furlongs, him getting the rail, and I just wonder what kind of trip he's going to get, because there's some days that he just looks like an absolute monster, and then there's just other times when he runs, you know, he runs okay. He doesn't kind of live up to what I think his full potential can be sometimes. And I'm going to play against him today. Maybe that's the wrong move to make, because I like him. I think he's got a really bright future as he continues to learn and he continues to progress. But that's a horse that, you know, for me, I would play against him this spot. I actually like Appealing Future. Try to get a little bit of value later on.
Good action today at Parks, including the Grade 3 Dr. Penny. Chris Griffin, of course, presides over everything at Parks. What else is notable? What have we haven't talked in about 3 weeks or so. What have we missed?
Well, race number 5, you know, just to finish up on this card, I mean, he lost his marble.
Yeah.
That's a half to Chubwagon, so it'll be interesting to see how her brother comes into this race. But Chubwagon, she made her return to the races, the PA bred horse of the year. She won her stakes race, come back, and I thought it was a workmanlike effort. You know, I thought it was a good effort for her to come back and get the victory. It seems like she's going to stay away from Graded Stakes Company right now. I know a lot of people are clamoring for her to take on some of those tougher races, but, you know, the ownership has said there's plenty of races for her, whether it be the PA Breds or whether it be some of the local stakes races, where she fits very well and she's making money. So it's nice to see her back. She's going to have a more brief campaign. Badero is going to be running after the debut. The half to Vequist is going to be running on, is it opening day of Saratoga? When's the Schuylerville? Is that the opening
yeah,
day card?
Yeah, it's Thursday. Yep.
Yeah, so Vadero, you know, it'll be interesting to see how she performs. You know, that's a nice runner for Butch Reed for the solid connections, and we'll see how she performs in that race. And looking forward to that effort. And other than that, we're getting close to we finished our Saturday programs. We don't race on Saturday afternoons except for September 24th. That'll be our final Saturday program of the year. We're back to our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday schedule, and still seeing 11 race cards, 10 race cards, and good fields. And we got the turf racing going on. Hopefully we continue to catch the nice weather. And we're doing the social media thing and making sure we cover that base as well on our coverage here at Parks. And everything is all good, man. It's good to just talk to you on a Tuesday morning and have a great at stakes racing. And, it's always just nice to chat. I don't know what else there is more to add. Thanks to the bettors, as always.
Well, and when you talk about Vidario, the 62 buyer in that maiden win, that goes back to June 14th, which really is a key day, Chris, about this card, because Gunfire Gal, she broke her maiden on that same card, and of course then the Chamonix and the Ben Salem were both run that day, so there's probably a lot to learn off of that, you know, that June 14th slate.
Yeah, it was kind of a similar day, too. Pretty nice out, you know, warmer weather. We're going to have some higher temperatures. Speed has done well. But, yeah, excited to see how Vadero performed. The ownership called me and reminded me, Vadero. They want me to make sure that we say Vadero on the pronunciation. It does look like Vidario. I agree with you. But by Daredevil, it started to all kind of make sense to me after a second. I started to put it all together. I said, okay, I get it. Vadero is how you say that name. But, yeah, Gunfire Gal, if she comes back and runs well, if Vadero runs well, it's just nice to see some of the local connections continue to do some nice things in the region and nationally. And looking forward to PA Derby and Cotillion Day. I think that's going to be a massive, massive day for us. We've got some added stakes races. We've got 9 total. We got the greatest stakes racing action. We've got horses that are pointing to those races. And I think we'll be looking at some nice fields, too, because some of these divisions, they look a bit more open than, you know, some of the slam dunks that we've seen possibly in the past. So I can't wait for that. Ready for that build-up, ready for a couple weeks off in August. We're going to get a 2-week break, so we're going to get a little bit of that time for everybody to just kind of recharge, and we'll get back at it when we get into the late summer and into the fall. But it's nice to be here at Parks in the summertime and ready to get really rolling here with the greatest stakes racing action.
In the grandstand, everybody, Chris Griffin will be tuning in today to a number of good spots highlighted by the feature, the Grade 3 Dr. James Penny Memorial. Chris, this was great. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Steve. Oh, but the last thing on the Joe's that I went to go have that cheesesteak, they're closing down. I closed the place down. They're only going to keep the one location.
Is that right?
I believe so. I believe I read that the Joe's that I went to is actually going to be shutting their doors. They're going to keep the location
the fish,
over by the fish town. Yeah.
So they're going to close Torrealba.
I believe so. I believe that's what I read. I got.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Glad I got there when I could.
Wow, good. No, that boy, that is a piece of cheesesteak news. I'm glad you told me. And I mean, as long as the cheesesteaks are still good, but that's an institution. That original location in Northeast Philly. Wow. All right. You're.
All right.
I don't know. You're a problem. You're creating havoc. Unbelievable. Chris Griffin, everybody. I'm not taking you to any of my favorite joints anymore. That's it. You're done. You put the maloik. You know what a maloik is?
I do not.
Wow.
I do not, but it doesn't sound
all right.
Good.
All right, you go find the nearest the nearest Italian and ask him what the maloik is. You'll get you'll laugh. Chris Griffin, everybody, and here he is. He comes to Philly and he's wreaking havoc.
73 years. It was a good run.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate you, Steve. Thanks, Casey. Thanks all you guys. Appreciate it.
Taking a top of the hour break, and when we come back, Andy Serling for the highly anticipated pre-Saratoga conversation back after this.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is